Hello, everybody. Jim Malone coming to you live on Dallas Trading Floor. It's Thursday, the day before Good Friday. We'll be off on Good Friday because, of course, it is a holiday and the markets will be closed. The unemployment numbers came in this week, not quite as good as they were expecting, unfortunately. We do have, it does look like unemployment is starting to creep up a little bit here. And that is not a necessarily good thing. Now, the unemployment, the next week's unemployment will be on Good Friday, will be released on Good Friday, so it probably will not affect the markets. But it does look like we are slowing in terms of the economy, and it does look like the unemployment numbers are starting to edge up. Now, remember, the jobs report is a trailing indicator, and the unemployment is it's sort of a leading indicator, unfortunately. So it does appear that we are probably headed lower. Nobody's surprised here, but it does look like we are probably headed lower a little bit, and it does it's starting to reflect that in the market. The market is was kind of screwy today. It was it was up a little bit, then pulled back, and basically finished kind of mixed. What I'm starting to see happening in the market, at least from my vantage point, is that I'm starting to see a lot of interest in the gold shares. And the reason we're seeing a lot of interest in the gold shares is because this is where many of the treasuries are, foreign treasuries are. They're dumping their dollars and they are buying gold as reserves. So kind of an interesting situation going on here. With inflation, you typically get a flight to gold. So what I'm focusing on right now are gold, are gold mining companies. And typically when the price of gold goes up, you see a lot of leverage in these gold mining companies. Why? Because their costs don't go up, but the value of their product gold goes up. Now, the interesting thing about the way gold is accounted for, and this is very unusual, is that in a gold miner, if you can produce and refine gold to an ingot or some other form like that, it's instantly put on the balance sheet as an asset. It's unlike GM. If they make a car, let's say they make a Chevy Tahoe, well, that goes into inventory that then is sold, and then you've got the whole cycle of accounts receivable and everything else like that. So the interesting thing about gold miners in a rising price of gold market, you see them realize on their assets, build up in assets very, very quickly. Now, here's a stock that I did buy today. It is called GFI Goldfields. This is a South African miner. Now, there is a little bit of a stability risk in terms of political risk in South Africa, but this one has been around for a very, very, very long time. There's a few of these South African gold miners that are very, very old and very strong. Right now, the rating on this one, the composite rating is 96. That's very, very good. EPS rating 93, relative strength 95. The group is being acquired. It's an A-plus group relative strength. The SMR isn't quite as good. This is kind of a proprietary thing. It's a B, and that part of the reason for that, of course, is that it's in South Africa, and there is some political risk involved with that South African domicile. Also, on the accumulation distribution rating, it's an A. That means it's being accumulated by multiple sources. So very interesting here. The symbol on this one is AGI. And I'd like to just go through a few of the relatively stronger gold miners here. And I just want to put up there for everyone so that you can see it. We have OR. Now, this is a intermediate size miner. This is not a large miner, but it's intermediate size. It's based in Canada. I own this one. It was down a little bit today, but the volume was up at $16.60 a share on that one. Now, another one that I have not acquired, but I'm looking at possibly starting a position in, and this is Anglo Gold Ashanti. This is also a South African miner. It's basically listed in London, I believe, but it is available as an ADR, an American Depository Receipt, in New York. So that's I'm looking at possibly moving into this one. It was up. It's not very expensive considering its strength, $26.80 a share. Another one is Alamos Gold. I don't know a lot about this one. It was flat today, but there was some acquisition in it. I don't know much about that one as well. Then another one, TFPM. I don't know much about that one. But AEM, this is a Canadian gold miner. This is Eagle Mines. I do own this one, and it was up today a little over 1%. Also, we have Goldfields ADR. This is one I did buy today. It was up. And then FCX is Freeport MacMoran. Now they're not primarily a gold miner, so I'm not as interested in Freeport MacMoran, but it is one of the largest mining companies out there. So very interesting look at that one. So let's take a look at AU. I don't own AU yet, but I am looking possibly to acquire it. And let's see if I can give you a good look-see on this one for AU. Let's see if we can get it in focus here for everybody on TikTok so you can see it. Yeah, there we go. Going to the weekly chart here, you see we're starting to come out of this cup formation. If we draw a trend line here, if we draw a trend line from the high point, let's get that correct. If we draw a trend line, you can see we have made a move above that trend line. That's a breakout there, and you can see it's 1, 2, 3, 4 days in a row it's been up. Now here's the thing. I'm not as interested in this one because I do think we're going to get a little bit of a correction, probably back to about this level, about 23, 24. I definitely think because it's moved up very, very quickly. Also, this one has a relative strength of 97. That puts it in the top 3% of all the stocks. And you'll notice that there is some big buying coming in here from institutions. So this one, you know, I haven't made a decision on this one whether to pull the trigger or not. Currently, relatively small number of funds are in about 20%. So I don't think this is probably as good an investment grade as some of the other ones that I'm going to show you, but definitely something to definitely take a look at. Also, if we're looking at if we're looking at gold stocks, I want to take a quick look at OR. This is the top rated stock currently in the group. I own this one, and it was down today a little bit, but probably who knows on the why, but it looks like it was a little bit of a correction from where it had been where it had been going before that. So let's take a look at it here. You see this is why, you know, when something has gone up about 4 days in a row, you want to kind of take a break because it has to kind of digest it. And that's sort of the thing we have with Ashanti right now. It went up and then now it's correcting down, but now it's going to go up again after hours. Typically something can't go up much more than about a 45 degree angle. And so this is in a situation where it's pulling back, but I think that we'll see this move nicely probably next week. It was closed after hours at 17, and so it's looking pretty strong. This is but you know, again, the problem here, of course, is that it's a little bit extended above that 21 day line. I'd like to see that come back a little bit more before we go back to that. So this kind of gives you an idea of ones that I'm looking at. Now I put in FCX basically for comparison purposes, because FCX is really not a gold miner. It is indeed it's a copper miner. And so, but because it mines copper, you get a lot of, you get a lot of gold too, hopefully with that. All right, let's get to the questions. Thank you very much for holding there. My little spiel on gold. Joka says, thoughts on Microsoft. And Microsoft and Apple were up today. So, you know, it does appear this is a safety trade. A lot of the big funds are kind of, you know, they have cash to invest. They want to put it to work. And, you know, in terms of the investments in the big tech, you know, Microsoft is probably the most top rated of it. Nice movement up off the 10-day line today. And 86 relative strength, so top 14% of all stocks. Now, I want to compare this this is sort of a tech company. I want to compare this against a stock that I started moving into, and that's AEM. Let's put this up here for everyone. And I'm going to do that since essentially the first of the year, kind of to show you kind of where it's at. I mean, if you'd been investing since the first of the year, you would have been better off with Microsoft. There's no question on it. But I think that may be changing here a little bit. So I'm going to compare Microsoft as an investment since the first year, the first quarter. As you can see, it definitely has outperformed AEM. AEM initially came out of the box and it was outperforming, and then it lost its steam, and then I think it's coming back now. My guess is that in the next in the next quarter, I think you're going to see the gold shares do better than some of the tech shares. But you're definitely not in a bad way if you're in Microsoft, because it's up, you know, it's up significantly since the first year, almost 20%. So very good stock, and you know, there's no reason not to own it. The thing about Microsoft, if we look at it, let's go back to that. There we go. If we go back to Microsoft here, you can see, you know, definitely a nice, definitely a nice trend. I think we've broken out of this base. Let's take a look at the reversal line. Yeah, we've definitely broken out of this base. So the question is it buyable here? Is Microsoft buyable here? Well, it appears it is, because it's basically just about 5% above that 21-day line. That's a key place that you can buy it. Also, if you look at the pattern recognition, we are still below that flat base at 276. So we are above that. We're, you know, it's sort of a cup, kind of a cup with handle here. So definitely you could add at this point. I personally am going to take it slow on some of the technology issues. Right now, I'm more interested in the chip stocks rather than the big cap techs. But it's very, very good as well. All right, Lisa, thank you very much for holding on. Let's see. Let's look at RCM. All right. RCM. That's something that provides registration, insurance. Okay, bill preparation. Not a stock that I'm pretty much familiar with here. R1 RCM. Not familiar with this stock, really. So am I on the right one? Yeah, I mean, RCM, yeah. I'm not very familiar with this stock. I probably would not buy it, though. Here's why. It's under that 200-day line. Typically, you want to make sure that it's got positive momentum. Anytime a stock is trading below the 200-day moving average, basically what's happening is that you have ongoing selling. You have ongoing selling. When a stock moves above the 200-day line, typically what's happening is you're starting to see accumulation by some of the funds. So I probably would not want to be below that 200-day line. There's just too much selling pressure there, and probably would not be as interested in it currently. You know, a little bit of cash flow here, which is kind of amazing. But basically no revenue. So I just think I would stay away from this one just because it just doesn't appear to have the right characteristics. So I would stay away from this one. And let's take a question from TikTok. Are you still in Rambus, RMBS? No, I sold it. But thank you for the question. Let's look at Rambus, RMBS. I still like the stock a lot. I just took profits. That was basically all there was to it. I'm waiting for a pullback, but I do like this stock an awful lot, Rambus. So let's pull on over to the Rambus here. As you can see, we bought here, 70, you know, I bought here, and then my move was basically to here. What happened? Here's what I do typically. So I'll buy it when it does a reversal, and then I'll ride it up typically, and then I'll keep pushing my stop losses. And when it pulls back, that's where I'm selling it. So here, my buy here on the 22nd was at 45.78. And then I made the ride up, you know, almost to, you know, right to about 50, and then it pulled back. But I'll probably be back in this one. It's got a 98 relative strength, so very strong. And let's see if we can see another entry point for Rambus. Rambus, you can buy Rambus basically, well, actually, it's buyable now, but I want to see it pull back a little bit closer to that 21-day line. And I think we may have a winner here. But wait for it to pull back a little bit to the 21-day line or maybe even to the 50-day line, and then it's a buy. But I definitely think this is approximately where I would be looking to buy. It would be right about that at that 21-day line, which is at 46.40. So 46.40, I think that's where you want to get in back into it. This is a good stock. It ranks very, very well relative to the other stocks. So let's kind of look at it in terms of the top stocks here. So if we're looking at the top stocks, Rambus comes in at number 5. With basically NVIDIA's a little bit stronger than this, but it's so Rambus is about a little over 6% off of its all-time high. I definitely like that in terms of that. Also, if we look at all the stocks in the group, Rambus comes in, and Rambus is a little bit smaller company, but it comes in pretty, really well under Silicon Labs in terms of valuation. So definitely like the stock. And hopefully I'll be waiting to get at it. All right. The question, and this is a good question from Doe 8 Life. I like that. It is the 21-day exponential moving average, EMA. So the very, very good question there. So that's a very, very good question on this, but it's the 21-day EMA line, and that's what the green line is. So that's what I in and it's, you know, you sometimes you have to fiddle around with the charts, but that's what you want, is the 21-day EMA line. So it's exponential moving average. Okay, exponential moving average green line. So that's what I'm talking about in terms of the green line. Great question, by the way. From TikTok, super good there. All right, what happened to AEHR? This is why you always want to be setting those stop losses, because AEHR, which I was in, I did take profits on it, but it has moved lower, unfortunately. Yeah, there was just a big sell-off on AEHR. This is one of the reasons why you just got to keep, you know, you got to keep fiddling with your stop losses. You just really have to, because that is how you're going to prevent yourself from having this kind of thing happen. Typically, what will happen is if it collapses typically below that 21-day line, that's this green line here again, then you probably want to jump out of it, because typically that's the main support. So this is why you want to buy close to this 21-day exponential moving average as possible, and you know, when you get in. As you can see, when I bought here, let's see, my buy point was let's see, I usually note it down, 35. No, was it 35? No. Well, anyways, I bought here, it pulled back, and then it bounced, and then I wrote it up and I sold. So this is one of the reasons why you really have to be careful with this, and just kind of, you know, kind of do it that way. This is my first buy. This is typically the best buys when it comes down here, pulls back, and then it comes down, you know, possibly to the 50-day line or a little bit below it, and then bounces. That was where my first buy was. That was a pretty successful buy, because we wrote it up there, and then we were out here. So gives you kind of an idea, gives you kind of idea. I did buy it again here. Unfortunately, it did move up, but when it pulled back below that 20, below the 50-day line, I was out. So I'm out of AEHR for at least for now, waiting for it to bounce. I still think it's a great stock. I just think, you know, we're in a very volatile market, and it's a hard market to trade, I'll be honest with you. So that's why I take my profit. I've been taking my profits relatively quick unless I see something like a major move into an area. And that's why I've been kind of focusing on some of the gold stocks, because I do see a major move into that area. All right, Sarah, thank you very, very much. Let's look at VLO and XOM. VLO is Valero. It's also one of the writers are VLO. So let's look in on it today. There we go. This is VLO. Let's get that chart up there for you. There we go. So this is VLO. Again, it seems to be having a little bit of, it seems to be hanging right at the 50-day line. We're in a bit of a downtrend. So, you know, the question is, do we want to buy it here? Well, it's still pretty strong. I really like this. I really like this stock. So I definitely think if we can see it move a little bit above that, we could possibly get, we could get in on it. Right now, let's look at the technicals. Okay, we're right below the 21-day line. Okay, so that in and of itself is promising. We're below the pivot here as well. So boy, I tell you, tough one, you know, tough to make your mind up on. I was looking at both this one and Exxon. I bought Exxon just because, you know, I think that its prospects are, it's going to be a little bit more stable, not, you know, but it's going to be a little bit more stable than Valero. This is just a tough market to trade in general, but I did buy Exxon right about 115.15. We were down a little bit today, about 10 cents, and then up again. So I still think that this is the one that you want opposed to. I think Exxon's the one you want relative to these two. I think it's still the better one right now. I think it's still the better of the two. All right. Well, the question is, should we buy Google here? Well, let's look at it. GOG. One of the things you have to watch out about Google is it's several stocks. It's the A class and the C class. So GOOG is the one that I'm concentrating on. This is the C class stock for Google. The question is, should we buy it because it moved above that 200-day line? And you know, I kind of want to see a wait see attitude here. I want to see a little bit more strength. I kind of like to see it move above 110 before I would buy it. But this is starting to look good. This is a good pattern, and we did have a lot of buying coming in here on the volume. But I'm still on the fence about this one. I think that with a checklist of 44, I just think that there's better stocks out there. Let's compare this one to another monster stock. I want to compare this to Exxon, XOM, because I do think that Exxon right now is a better buy than Google. Now, of course, Exxon is probably not going to double. It's not like Google, but I just think it's stronger. And if you're looking for, you know, kind of a place to get your toe wet in the market right now, I think it's going to give you better results. I just do. The profits were up 64% on Exxon in this last quarter, and it has a 8 PE. That means that the price of the stock is, you know, the amount of profits that are being produced by Exxon right now is basically, you know, it is basically very, very significant. So you take the profits, you multiply them times 8, and you get the price of the stock. Whereas Google, on the other hand, and this is really fundamental analysis, Google has a PE ratio of 22, which is excellent, by the way, for a tech stock. 22 to 24 is the norm for tech stocks. So, but again, if we're looking for hard assets, and again, because we're coming into a recession, I think we've got to be very careful. We've got to look at earnings. This is the key now in recessionary periods. We want stocks that can earn out very quickly and have a high likelihood of success. I think that that's more true of Exxon right now than it is of Google, but they're both good stocks. I'm not ragging on Google in any way. I like the stock. I just don't think that, I wouldn't put all my eggs in it right now. I just wouldn't. Just not the way that I'm thinking. Let's look at INTT for Lisa here. And let's look at INTT. And okay, Intel. This is another question. This is another stock that I don't know much about. I have to admit, I do not know much about it, this stock. $19 seems like a lot of buying is coming in. Don't know what they're doing here, but they do have cash flow, so that's good. And let's see, it's diluted share. Okay, semiconductor manufacturer. This is interesting. Okay, and mechanical and electrical products. Okay, I'm not that familiar with this company, but it's not a bad chart at all. 99 relative strength. So that is very, very good. It's got almost 100% checklist. I really like that. The technicals are good. Boy, I tell you what, if this is close enough to the 21-day line, you could probably start a position here with this one. Trying to see it where it is stacks up with the 21-day exponential moving average. So that's really one of your most important indexes, is that 21-day. It's only 1.97% above that. Yeah, you could actually buy it here at this level. You're close enough to the 21-day line. It's in an upward trend with a very strong relative strength. So those are very good attributes there. So INTT, definitely. I definitely think you could start a position here. So looking really, really good. All right, Mr. Jeet, DCBO. Let's just go over here real quick and take a look to see DCBO. A Canadian-based, cloud-based. Okay, so it's looking pretty decent. Okay, it's above the 200-day line. The 50 went above the 200, so that's looking good. Computer software enterprise. This is the only thing that is a little bit. It's 86 relative strength. Okay, so it's starting to make a move. It's right at the 21-day line, like that. The checklist is not bad. It's 67%. That's my minimum, but it's still doing okay. So yeah, I definitely think this one's looking good. I probably would not be investing in this one right now, but I think this is looking very, very good. Very, very good on that. So definitely good things to say there for INTT. So real interesting stock. Okay. Let's see if we have anything else here. 21-day. Okay, joined. Which averages do you use? Very good question. Thank you for that. I use four averages. I use the 200-day moving average. That's a linear moving average, okay? The 200-day, that's the black line on my charts. I'll show you that. Let's put that up here. Yeah, if you can see that, that's the black line, and that is the 200-day moving average. Then there's the red line here, and this is on the daily chart, by the way. I use the 50-day linear moving average. Okay, so that's the 50-day. So the 200 and the 50, and then there's a little green line here. Now that's different. I use an exponential moving average for that one, and that's the only exponential moving average I use is 21-day exponential moving average. And then there's the 10-day line, which is a linear moving average. So 10, 21, 50, and 200. So that's how I stack them up there. So those are the averages that I use. Thank you for that. Good, great, great question. All right. Well, let's see. All right. I think that's pretty much it. We've gone through pretty much everything. Here's the thing. Just want to point out some opportunities again with some of the gold stocks. Ones that I kind of do like. I like this Goldfield ADR, which is a South African company, and I like the Anglo Ashanti. That's also South African. AU is a symbol for that one. Just one quick look at AU, and that will be it. AU. There we go. All right. Here's the kind of chart that I like to see. I like to see a chart like that. You notice how all of this volume is coming in here. 23 was sort of moved above that higher high. There's a cup with a handle. You can definitely see that there, cup with a handle. So that's a very strong pattern. The only thing I don't like about this right now is it's a little bit extended, but it's up and after hours with very, very strong accumulation. This one I think is well worth your time and taking a look at. 67%, I'd like it to be higher, but it's still not bad. The only caveat that I have here is it's extended off of that 21-day line. But I do think that due to the fact that I think a lot of the price of gold is likely to move higher, this one might be a good one to look at. But it's not the top-rated OR is. I'm going to compare this one to one that I did buy earlier. And let's just do that, AU versus OR. There we go. And we'll definitely take a look at that. So let's do that real quick. All right. These are two of the stocks that definitely taking a look at in the gold area. As you can see, in the last few days there's been a huge movement up on these shares, really starting from basically about 5 days ago when the inflation numbers came out. As you can see, I think we're starting to see a trend up. Now, AU, this is Anglo Ashanti. It's done very, very well. Let's just take a look since the first of the year. Yeah, there we go. They almost have the same performance, but it looks like Anglo Ashanti is coming from a little bit lower base. But as you can see in the last few days, we've had a very strong movement on the stocks, but they're up since the beginning of the first quarter, about 35%. So significant when it comes to that. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thanks for taking a look at my show. Also, if you are not already a member of Dallas Trading Floor, just jump on over to www.dallastradingfloor. Also, if you could, would love it if you would like the show. We need those likes. Hopefully subscribe too, but smash the like button, please, because the like button helps us out a lot and gets us out there to a lot more people. By the way, if you missed the Options Mastery course, which is being conducted by my close friend Gavin McMaster in Australia, I think it's still available to sign up on. I think it's still available to sign up on that one. But great show, and you can send me a note at DallasTradingFloor@gmail.com if you want to get special pricing on that. But smash the like button. I will be back on Monday. I'm not going to be back tomorrow because tomorrow is a holiday for the markets. So I will be seeing you Monday.